This Cody Parkey moment will cause each team either jubilation or despair. Here it is. Ball is spotted. Kick is away. It's got the distance. It is.
It's a timeout.
Oh, they called a timeout. It would have been good.
He knew that there is going to be a whistle, but just going to get follow through with the snap, hold, and kick.
And I'm sure Parkey was expecting that timeout.
Checking his spikes, rubbing his hands, pacing, no doubt nervously. They say he's mentally tough.
But as I said, he has had troubles all season.
Cody Parkey has had his challenges here in 2018, now into 2019.
One game he missed, I think it was three field goals and an extra point. They all hit the upright.
10 seconds to go. Parkey lines it up. O'Donnell on one knee. Gives him a look, extends his right arm. Scales sends it back.
It's snapped.
Placement made.
Placed.
Kick.
Kicked. And it is no good. No good. It is no good, and the Eagles win.
He missed it.
And the Eagles are celebrating here at Soldier Field.
Hey, what's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my Jump Scout rating. 0-1, I don't know, maybe I'm just too tired, but I have been drinking some beer while watching playoff games, but it's just making me more tired one of those days. Bloated and tired. Anyway, with no Saints game to recap, I guess we'll dedicate this week's episode to whatever else we feel like talking about.
And
rest, I was going to say that. Yeah, be sure, rest assured, we'll be talking about the doink doink ending to the Bears-Eagles game, as well as your tweets and the divisional round of playoffs that we now know will feature the, quote, what should have been the NFC Championship game last year. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am a 0. I've been under the weather the last 2 days.
So. Anyway.
You sound under the weather.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I ate some leftovers Friday, and then Friday night, I just woke up at 3 in the morning, stomach pains and a little fever. And
maybe
now I got a puppy barking at me.
I was going to say, he's decided to bark only when you get on the podcast.
Right? Well, he's not trained yet.
He sounds like the Bears fans.
It's like a little baby bear.
He does kind of look like one. All right, Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, Jeff.
Not under the weather?
Nope, not under the weather.
What are you excited about? What makes you feel so great?
I like playing the sixth seed.
All right. Since we have no game to recap, let's just kind of talk about all the playoff games.
The playoff weekend, sure.
So we'll call it playoff potpourri. Everything. But anyway, yeah, let's go in order then. The Houston game with the Colts pretty much
always
demonstrating why Houston should not have been there.
And I mean, they won their division. You can't say they shouldn't have been there. They just...
But Damon, you made a point in text there. You want to...
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we can kind of throw this out. You go with the Texans and then today the Chargers, you know. Had to travel to the Ravens with a better record. We did it in 2010 when we were 11-5, the Seattle was.
Oh, that's not the point I was going to bring up. I was talking about the Texans having not playing.
Oh yeah, right. The Texans didn't play a winning team all year long.
At the time that they played them.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's when they count, right?
Right. Which is phenomenal. That I mean, they basically got each team at their lowest point, in a sense.
Right.
So it does stand to reason that maybe there was an overinflated expectation for what they could do when they play against a true caliber playoff team.
Right. Well, and watching the game, you really saw that, you know, other than Hopkins, they have no playmakers whatsoever. You know, no playmakers, and when he had to make the accurate throws when it mattered, Watson just couldn't do it. I mean, he missed a lot of throws that he needed to hit. Just threw him into the ground, couldn't make it. And look, it seems like the Texans do this every year. They win their division, or they get in. They play in the first wild card game of the weekend, the crappy Saturday game. And they always shit the bed.
It's like they stole someone else's ticket and got in to the ball, you know. And then when they show up, they didn't realize, like, they didn't wear a tux.
Right. You can only play who's in front of you. You know, I mean, I can't.
I mean, they won 11 games.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't bad-mouth them for that. And the Colts started off. I mean, it seems this year, more than any year I can remember, teams started off slow and picked up. And then there's some teams who started fast and fell apart more than any time in the, like I said, that I can remember. And the Colts have, they have looked good.
Yeah, I mean, they were 1-5. Started 1-5 and have been rolling. I mean, their offense, you know, the problem with the last few years, you know, Luck would just get beat up. They had no line, and now they've...
Right. Well, he didn't play at all last year.
I don't think he got sacked at all yesterday, huh?
No, oh, that's it. That lineman they drafted, that they you know, are blowing.
Oh, yeah, the guard.
Yeah, saying he's one of the best guards in the league already. Rookie, you know, look, the games are won in the trenches, you know what I mean? That's a cliche, but it's the truth.
No, we proved it last week.
Yeah, I mean, like, the line held up. Luck played well. Marlon Mack rushed for 148 yards. You know, I mean, he's really come on. He missed the beginning of the season, and, you know, he's been a top five, top ten back over the last 9-10 weeks.
And it's, yeah, then, you know, again, success. Luck had missed the last year and a half, basically, with injury. So maybe it took him, a couple of games into the season to start feeling his oats.
To get going. And just, Marino, remember what happened with the coaching thing. I mean, they had Josh McDaniels, and then he bailed on him, and then they get Frank Reich.
Who was the offensive coordinator at Philly last year.
And now, I mean, they're rolling. They got they kind of did what we did. They knocked some draft picks out of the park. You know, they got the lineman, and then they had another, a linebacker maybe? I think they both made the All-Pro team this year.
Yeah, you're right. No, I forgot about the linebacker.
You know, two rookies making the All-Pro team is pretty incredible. But yeah, they, you know, that was their problem. They were shit in the draft, and now they hit the draft, and here they are.
That's what it takes.
Yeah.
So the Colts definitely looked like they were the better team on the road.
Definitely.
Saturday.
All right, and then the next game featured the.
Dallas.
That's right. Dallas and Seattle. I already forgot. forgot totally about Seattle ever being in the playoffs. But talk about a low scoring game. It was kind of before we knew that it would be the Eagles for us. But I was what's the word? Optimistic, I guess, or I was feeling pretty confident because neither team had an offense that could overcome a good defense. And we have a good defense, so I was kind of very confident about the fact that Dallas would be coming to the Dome and we were going to wipe the floor with them. Because even when we played them, they don't have the offense that.
No, right. I mean, they kept us at 10 points, but we kept them to 13, which I definitely didn't see that happening in the Superdome. Them keeping us to 10.
Right.
But look, they're good at home. If I'm not mistaken, I think they were undefeated home, or
they were 7-1 at home.
Right, lost one game to who?
I don't know.
Right, you know. So,
yeah, I mean, close game, and then look, Janikowski getting hurt at the end of the half forced the Seahawks to go for two. you know, second half. That was an interesting kind of wrinkle and everything.
Well, the only thing about that game that really stuck out to me is that the two pass interference calls and Dallas' last drive for the touchdown. I mean, that I watched today's game. I didn't see a lot of PI calls, you know. And I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but I mean, it's just that second one you can give him, but that first one was just that's tough. You know, that was a tough call to make in the playoffs. I'm sorry.
Well, and old dickhead Goodell was in the stadium yesterday.
Oh
yeah, with Charles Haley.
So, but I mean, I thought like Seattle. I know Seattle was a running team, but they really couldn't run the ball yesterday. And I'm surprised Seattle didn't throw more. I mean, Wilson only had 27 attempts. It seems like they should have just kept. They just had abandoned the run and just chuck it around.
But weren't the announcers even saying how good of it was for them to be running the ball? I mean, wasn't that one of the talking points?
Well, because they were the best rushing team in the league. So that was their – but, I mean, at some point during the game when it's not working and you've got Wilson, I mean, you got to adapt. They chose not
to. That's true. All right.
But, I mean, I don't know. Look, you know, before the results of today, you know, if you had to pick a winner, right, I wanted the Cowboys to win. I didn't want any part of Russell Wilson next week.
Well, I think we mentioned it last week or whenever. Again, Russell Wilson – it's more like what we said about Ben Roethlisberger when they played us. Russell Wilson can extend plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can get out of the pocket, extend plays, and he's a much better quarterback than Dak Prescott. It's not even, it's not even close. So they would have been, interesting coming here, but we don't have to worry about that.
That's right.
Yeah, no.
So then today's early game was the Chargers in Baltimore. Where how many blocked or missed kicks were there in that game? It was ridiculous. I mean, basically today, Sunday was all about like special teams. If you think about it,
and for a while you're thinking, man, the Chargers, because the Chargers really dominated the game, and all they had were field goals to show for it. So at some point you're thinking, okay, this is going to come back to hurt them, and Baltimore kind of had a chance at the end, but. Yeah, I mean, even like Tucker missed a kick today too, right?
Yes, he did.
Tucker, yeah.
Yes, he did.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. But look, as good as Jackson, you know,
every
has been
time
running the...
I've watched a Baltimore game this year, Tucker's missed a kick.
But look, I know they've been really good running the ball, but you know the limitations on him as a passer really caught up to him when they got down. I mean, it's hard to come back. But, you know, Jackson did throw for two TDs.
Yeah, you just have to kind of, you know, a quarterback has to throw the ball. It's one of those weird things that I like my quarterbacks doing.
It helps.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then the other game, it was the one we were talking about at the top of the show, obviously the one that affects Saints fans the most, is the Philadelphia and the Bears. This is another one where Philly kind of dominated this game for the most part, and the Bears kind of had a little bit of a surge toward the end, but then Philly kind of sealed the deal, right? But, and you think about this, Dallas is the only home team that won this weekend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Texans lost, Ravens lost, Bears lost.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I like that. Get that out the way early. Yes. Yes, get that out the way. Next week, home teams. Excellent.
That's it.
yeah, I look at stupid shit like that.
Well, I mean, you think about it. Home teams have to win something. None of them won.
No doubt. Look, I mean, that was a great game, that Bears-Philly game. That was excitement.
It was the best of the weekend.
Yeah, that was good.
Entertainment was good. Value.
And maybe because it did, it had an effect on us, on who we played.
Yeah.
You know, so that might that added a little excitement for a Saints fan.
Yeah.
But also, when Philly scored, you think, okay, that's it. And then the Bears somehow were able to come back down and like, right. Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. Yeah. The Bears offense, you would not think, is going to drive the field in, 40 seconds.
No.
you know, but I like Trubisky. I do. Really? I like, yeah, I think he's an all right quarterback. I don't think he's great. He's not Drew Brees.
I don't dislike him. I just don't have a lot of people an opinion on him. And I don't think he, I think they poo-poo on him because he, obviously, you know, the talking heads during the draft made it out like he's the, you know, second coming of Christ. And when the Bears got him, it was like, oh, shit, here we go. The Bears are going to make the playoffs now. And they did, but.
Well, right, but.
But I mean,
they didn't get the playoffs because of him. They got the playoffs because they signed Khalil Mack. All right? Let's all be honest about this.
Well, and
it didn't help them the playoff win, but they did get to the playoffs.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they traded up to get Trubisky, and yet they could have just taken Mahomes.
Wow.
And that's not to say Trubisky's not going to grow into becoming a good quarterback, but it was kind of like they were crowning him before he ever did anything.
Well, I don't know if they were crowning him. I mean, I think there was a lot of questions about Trubisky. I mean, I think he's fine. For a second-year player, I think he's fine.
Bears fans were crowning him, but I guess that's their job.
Yeah, well, like I said,
we'd crown him if he was our quarterback.
Yeah, I like him. He's not great, but like second year, I think he's fine.
All right. But, yeah, it was pretty impressive that they got down the field in the typical, you know, final drive to win it fashion. They go for the field goal, and of course, the you know the timeout that we all expect to ice. What's his name? Parker? Parky?
Parky.
Park, no, yeah. I mean, is that incredible how that works?
It rarely works. To my like,
it doesn't really work.
It works more
often than you would think.
Not more often than it doesn't work.
Well, sure. No, not more often than it doesn't work, but that it worked fucking period. You just made the kick. We just saw the asshole make the kick 5 seconds ago.
Yeah. And then, but it's not just to miss it. The icing isn't the thing that's surprising. The thing that's surprising is, like they showed it after the game, that he's done it, what, six times this season?
Nine times.
The guy hit the pole more times than he might have made it. You would think if he was that accurate to hit the pole, he could at least hit it.
Right, he could get between it. Right.
Pretend there's a pole in the middle.
Right.
And then not only that, but to hit two poles on the way out. You know,
I mean, I can't recall ever seeing that. You know,
doink doink, ridiculous.
And get the way the ball hits the crossbar.
There's your title of the episode.
Get the way the ball hit the. I mean, it could have bounced the other way, and they could have.
Yeah, could you imagine if it would have bounced in off after that?
Right.
I mean, yeah. That would go down as one of the most amazing plays ever in the history of the NFL. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Bears fans have to be...
I'd be sick.
If
I was in the stadium... It's one thing if you're watching TV, but think about the Bears fans that were in the stadium that whole game. I mean, just the emotional roller coaster that the game was, and then driving down... Because weren't they also the ones where they had picked up the fumble... Or what they thought was a fumble in the end zone in the first half and ran it all the way back. Or am I thinking of the Baltimore? That was Baltimore. Never mind.
Yeah, Baltimore.
No, never mind. Yeah. But either way, they're doing all this celebrating, and they realize, oh, they called the timeout, so they have to re-kick. And then they see that, and then knowing that he's hit it, 55 times before?
Yeah, you're sick. You're ridiculous.
And just I think I'd have just sat in my seat for a little while and been like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, that guy's not going to be on the team next year, right?
No, I don't think so. And they said it at the end of the game. I don't know if y'all heard it. But it was the Bears win over the Vikings that put the Eagles in the playoffs.
They did it to themselves.
Look, fuck the Bears. They were horrible in 06 when we went up there.
Oh, yeah. That's what made me happy about what happened today. All those people that I had to sit in the stands with. That picked on us the whole time we were there, and we're asshole fans.
Right, right. Chicago, right. Yankee bastards. Fuck y'all.
Just assholes.
And this was the, since 2010, first time the Bears had made the playoffs in 8 years.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Wow. They never made the playoffs with Cutler?
Nope.
Wow.
That's what they said on TV.
Oh, wow.
And no victory this year. So go back next year, and now Green Bay's going to have a and look, during that period, think about it, too. That's when Rodgers really came up also. So I'm sure that's who's been winning the division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they were not competitive for a while.
Right.
But, all right, so there's your playoff deals. Let's move along.
Hold on. One thing we didn't do last week, and since we don't have a lot to talk about this week, how about our predictions here to go wrong?
In our
season predictions, yeah, okay. What we thought the team would end.
Okay, let's check in on the bold predictions here to go wrong. Good one. Okay, first, well, actually, here's the quick and easy one. So at the beginning of the season before week one, we remember the crossover show with the UK Saints podcast. We all made season predictions on our records. Jeff,
right.
I predicted 11-5.
Way off.
Damon predicted 12-4. Jason predicted 12-4. Ash, 13-3. Ben, 11-5. James, 13-3.
I was just a little scared to go 13.
Well, Ash and James, look at them. How about that? I don't know if we've ever had a season prediction go right. Especially one that cocky. All right, so here's the... So, of course, the bold predictions sure to go wrong include the members of the UK Saints podcast as well. So the first one, though, comes from Jason, said that Cam Meredith... would get 1,000 yards receiving. How many yards did Cam Meredith have this year?
He had a few. He did not have that.
He was a few short of 1,000.
Right. Yeah.
About 920.
And something short, yeah. Jesus.
He'd have to play in at least 4 games, right? I don't know. Anyway, all right, Damon, you said that Davenport would get double-digit sacks. Now, that one was close. What did he finish with? 9? 8?
Where's Davenport? Davenport finished with only 4.5.
4.5,
yeah. I was way off.
Yes, now, I mean, he was coming on, and then he got hurt, and he missed a couple of games, so maybe that kind of slowed him down a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Ben from the UK Saints podcast said that Traquan Smith would lead the NFL in touchdowns and yards.
Not so much.
Not quite.
Right now,
427-5
would catch Drew Brees' record-breaking pass and run it in for a touchdown.
That would have been a good one.
Right. So Ben also said that Terry Bridgewater would be the NFL Super Bowl MVP. All right.
Well, that's still open.
Yeah.
That could still happen.
I don't think we like that one.
That would be horrible. Well, hey, look, if he's MVP, I'll take it, okay?
I mean, it means we win the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
All right. I didn't catch who said this one, but they said that Traquan Smith would win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Oh, you said that.
I said that one?
That was you. That was you. I was funny, you didn't catch it.
I was pretty high on Traquan Smith at the beginning of the season. Ash said that Cam Jordan would lead the NFL in sacks with 18.5.
He had 12.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good season.
Yeah.
Just didn't lead the league.
Right. Ben said Mark Ingram would get traded before the deadline. Yeah, get the fuck out of here with that.
Yeah.
Ash said that Kamara and Lattimore win Offensive and Defensive Players of the Year. I don't think they're going to get... I mean, Lattimore,
no.
Kamara...
I mean, Kamara had a good season.
Yeah, but...
You know, 1,500 yards from scrimmage and a bunch of touchdowns, but...
Yeah, they're going to give it to somebody else. But Jason says Marcus Williams would have 10 interceptions.
If by 10... I really meant 2, then yes.
Right. Well, you've got... Well, we'll extend it to the playoffs. He'll get 8 in the playoffs and Super Bowl.
Okay, right. That'll work.
All right, Ben said Marcus Williams would get a pick 6 in the NFC Championship game. So that's one of the 8. You know, all right. I said the Saints offense and defense would both rank in the top 5. Now, that one...
Let's see. It's possible.
If you'd have said top 10, I think you'd have got it.
Well, that's got to be bold.
Yeah.
And it's got to be sure to go wrong. NFL total team.
I got it. Hold on. And total offense, I guess that's just by going by yards. I don't know how you want to admit, but going by yard, they were eighth. But going by points per game, they were, which, I mean, that's what matters, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah. I think we could do me.
So, I mean, defense yards, we were 14th, mostly because of the passing defense. But in points per game, we were, 11th? No, we're 13th.
You have to remember, we gave up 48 the first game.
Right. And gave up another 37 to the Falcons.
Right.
Yeah. So we were 14th in points per game and 14th in yards per game.
Okay, so then I didn't get it. All right. Damon said that Breeze would lead the NFL in touchdown passes.
He did well, but Patrick Mahomes topped him.
Yeah, he did. Oh. He had Fitty.
And then Ben said that Dennis Allen leaves the Saints for a head coaching job after the 2018 season. Ben, what the fuck is with these UK Saints podcast guys with all these negative, bold predictions?
He doesn't know.
You know,
or you could look at it as that players are leaving because we won the Super Bowl, and that's what happens. You get kind of picked off.
This is Dennis Allen.
Allen's interviewed with, I think, Miami, and I don't know if it was just Miami so far, but I know he's interviewed. Campbell's interviewed. Carmichael's interviewed.
Yeah, it's tough for the coaches who are still playing, whose teams are still playing. It puts them at a disadvantage.
Yeah. Good.
You know, maybe not. No, no doubt. Good. No doubt. Maybe not a Josh McDaniels who, you know, but I think it hurts. The others. I don't think they'll be taken away this year.
I hope not. At least not till Breeze is gone. Or ever, in a sense. Like, the Carmichael-Peyton thing is good. And if they, it's bad enough that Breeze would be the one that leaves first, but that trio, you know, the next guy probably will benefit most if he's still got the two of the three there. Or maybe Breeze steps up and helps to coach if he's got that in him. Anyway, getting off on a tangent, let's move into Look at Him tweets. It's just tweets today. Greenbaum says, Eagles it is. I know we beat them earlier in the year, but this is literally a different Eagles team. They had Wentz at quarterback and no Sproles when we beat them. This is what the NFC Championship could have been. And he's right, but at the same time, you look at how the Bears defense did hold them to under 20 points, which, yeah, I think it stands to reason that our defense can do the same. And if our defense can hold them to under 20, our offense has got to perform better than the Bears' offense did against them.
Right. Well, and look, I mean, this Eagles team, you know, they can't run the football all that effective. Yeah, they have Sproles, but he's not Kamara Ingram.
He's 43, isn't he? How old is he?
So, yeah, he's up there. You know, they have a QB that he really can't escape pressure. We were talking about that earlier. So he's much easier to sack. He'll be in the pocket. He can't run for first downs like Dak can, you know, and extend the play that we were talking about. And their defense is nowhere as good as the Cowboys.
Right. You
know, I mean, so, they're a little different. They got that magic in it. You know, one of the things that I did, I think, is a negative for us is that they obviously have the playoff experience. You know, they did it last year, won the Super Bowl, won a tough game in Chicago. But I still, is it in the dome? What was that? 48-14? 47-14? When they last came here? I don't see it being, you know, 21-20.
No, you wouldn't think. Yeah, we beat them 48-7.
To 7? God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, held them 7?
7?
So we match up well against them.
Right.
A little bit.
So if they triple their score in 21-42, I'll take it.
And don't forget the fact that how healthy we are compared to what they're. I mean, how much did they get banged up today? You know, So, and we'll talk maybe more with game preview. So we'll move into the Jim at Law of Numbers says, will Terron Armstead play? Someone on the offense must step up in the playoffs. Kirkwood or Smith or both. Playoffs are tough to get through, but tougher to win. This is our year, no excuses. He seems a little nervous. He seems concerned that Traquan or Kirkwood have to step up. But is with Genn back and showing, you know, Genn making, being a big part of the Pittsburgh game, I think Genn needs to step in and fill his role.
Well, I thought he did last. I felt he didn't.
Right. You know, he made a difference against Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not worried about the receivers as much as I was.
Yeah.
And here, Armstead, look, I don't know. You know how Sean Payton is with injuries. I mean, it's easier to get the nuclear codes, for Christ's sakes. You know, so
we'll just have.
I believe so. I believe he'll play. He's had, 2 weeks off.
21 days.
Yeah.
Put it this way. Let's hope to God he plays.
No doubt. Everyone, if you say a prayer for Armstead.
Yep. All right. Matthew Laverne says, I'm stationed at Travis Air Force Base in California and want to let you guys know that the Houdat Nation presence is actually pretty strong out here. And his question is, would you rather beat Brady or Rivers in the Super Bowl? And first thing, Matthew, thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you.
And as far as would we rather beat Brady or Rivers, was it one of you that said this, Jason, maybe when we were at the game?
Yeah.
About beating Brady.
Right, being Brady, that means Breeze's two Super Bowls will be against Manning and Brady. Like, that's a nice little accomplishment.
No, it is. And I think that's what people want to see.
In
the same way.
Especially
I get to soon beat.
Go ahead.
I get to soon beat Brady and the Patriots. The Colts, the year we played them, were the greatest team of all time. Peyton Manning, MVP. And, Tracy Porter didn't think so. I'd like to cap that off, his two victories against two of arguably the top, top quarterbacks in league history.
Yeah. And then he can beat Rivers next year.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then, so that'll be good. Like, or he could beat Rodgers in the NFC Championship game, but he could beat Rivers next year to where it'll be Manning and Brady, and then Rivers, the guy in San Diego, the team that he left. He left to the team with, I mean, I can't think of another AFC quarterback, or unless it'd be Mahomes. It'd be nice to beat Mahomes next year to kind of put that argument.
Look.
It's a future argument that people might have if Mahomes continues on this trajectory.
I would be, Mahomes would have to face, potentially looking forward, the Colts and the Patriots. I don't see him beating both of them. They might get past the Colts, but they're not getting, just Kansas City. They're four big games. They lost all of them this year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
They lost the game to the Chargers. So, the Chargers
right,
are still around.
Right, right. Which was a very important game at the time. At home.
At home, which the Chiefs
right,
usually play better at home.
No, they
than look, most they, home look, teams do.
Right. They're a good team. They're a young team. Look, it just go ahead. Give them the fucking MVP. The greatest thing to slice bread. But against the Rams, he had five turnovers. He's a young kid. I'm not saying he's not going to have a very, very bright future, and he's doing well now. But he's still young. He's still young, and I think the Patriots will.
It's coaching helps
right.
too, and Bill Belichick knows how to dismantle these kids. How do I get to these kids? All right, next tweet comes from DJZ. Says, will any of you ever be over a 6 on the drunk scale? We have been a lot lower numbers the last maybe 2 years even.
Maybe 3 or 4 years. Yeah, you could have listened 5 years ago when we were younger.
Yeah, we used to do the show.
Right,
at sixes
right. Everybody's minimum over six. Four. Everybody's over 40. Okay.
I mean, we were. We I was over a 6 for the crossover episode.
Well, I like
that's true. Yeah, we were all got pretty high numbers then.
It's a shame that we didn't save it, but. You should listen to the catfish episode.
Oh, we have the clip, and let's play it right now.
of their bad offensive line play.
It's going to be great.
All right, what else?
Five fifth. I'm an idiot.
Wait, finish chewing and then say it.
No, I can't. Clearly, five fifth.
Fried fish.
I mean fried fish. How about that, bitch? I mean fried fish.
Are you eating fried fish?
Yep, I mean fried fish. What the fuck is going on?
You're eating fried fish.
I mean fried fish, bitch.
Stop.
Oh my god.
Just stop. That is the cold open right there.
What am I doing?
I think we just found our cold open.
I mean fried fish, bitch.
Okay, I just spit it out all out of my mouth. I mean, I was eating fried fish. That was some good fish. But I was eating it. No, I'm not. I had to spit it out just because. God damn it, that was some fried fish.
And that was Jason way over a 6.
Yeah, I was probably like an 11 or 12.
And that's why we can't do shows over 6.
Right. No, yeah, Jason used to have... Jason held out the longest with numbers. You know, Jeff can't get too high because the show just goes off the rails.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that happened. And and Jason just won't shut the fuck up when he's drunk.
I'm not going to argue that.
No.
We none of us do, I guess.
But hey, look, when we win the Super Bowl, we'll have a big number show.
Maybe, at some point. Yeah. Or we can get a bunch of people and we'll all have big numbers. But yeah, we used to have high numbers. Yeah, I wonder if we ought to maybe consider some off-season shows where we maybe some day
just get
shows
hammered
or crawfish boil shows or there's a few times where we do get hammered and like one of us will be hammered somewhere and we're like, let's do a show. We'll text to each other and the others will be like, yeah, no, I'm not. I don't have time to do a show right now. But it sounds like it would be more fun than it really, I think, comes out. A lot of editing has to go into shows where we're over 6s. All right, now it's time for our segment within a segment. We didn't do one last week, but we got one this week, and it's Taste of This. All right, this one actually comes from Daniel Byrne. And he says, do you think we'll see Taysom Hill open the game by singing the national anthem? Just saying, we haven't seen him do that yet. Now, that would be cool. I do wonder if how much of Hill we're going to get. And if we do get him, are they going to throw it a little more? It's kind of like something Saints fans were talking about the last couple of weeks. Because it's, what, 9 out of 10 times he runs, or we run the ball when he's in?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see a standard Hill game, you know, playing a lot of special teams and a couple of runs, and that's going to be it, I think.
Yeah.
Unless we get a big and just want to rub it in their face. No. I think that's all we're getting.
Yes. And while you rub it in your face, you say, taste of this.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's all the tweets that we've got for now. I think people were taken off a little off guard by the fact that we asked for tweets on Sunday. Which leads us into, Pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Oh, do we have to?
Yeah, we do.
Well, you and I have the same record, don't we, Jason?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
My nice winning streak came to a crashing thud this week. I went 1-3. My only win was the Chargers. Damon went 1-3. His only win was the Colts. Meanwhile, Jeff rights the ship at 3-1. His only loss was the Bears.
Showing up in the playoffs.
So out of the three of us, Jeff is in first, 54-33. Damon is at second, 50-37, and I'm one game behind, 49-38.
And in the larger league, who that fits, staying on top. He did tweet to us and let us know that this is actually the second out of 3 years that if he holds on to win it, that he will have won it all. So we do owe him a guest spot on the show from winning 3 years ago. And if he wins again this year, he definitely earns a spot. So we'll
absolutely.
He can come in on the drunk show.
That's right. Then we got Life of Ty in second place, Ryan Angier in third, I'm in fourth, followed by Wheels, Saints Fan UK, Christian Mino, and then Damon, Big Easy Gaijon, Saints Europe, Fuck the Falcons, and then Jason, Tom Ensign, Chris McGuire, DJZ, Ash, Davis Douglas, Sans Hobbs, Preston Allen, Giovanni Turner, Neil, Gerald Bouti, and Mordecai. Mordecai being the only one under 500, so he had a bad week and fell below the threshold.
It's okay, Mordecai. You weren't alone in your bad week. But now, moving on to the divisional round. Two games Saturday, two games Sunday. First game, the 6-seed Indianapolis Colts travel to Kansas City to play the number 1 seed Chiefs. I know I've mentioned it before. Chiefs have a habit of blowing these home playoff games, and Andy Reid is known for blowing games as well, so this could set up for a kind of a perfect disaster for Kansas City. They've got, if I'm not mistaken, they've got a super long drought from making it to the Super Bowl. Really long, so I know their fans can be frustrated. And if it starts to go sideways, I think you're going to notice it in the stadium. This game is in Arrowhead. It's at Arrowhead. Chiefs are favored by 5.5.
They're giving Indy 5.5. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth game. High-scoring game. What's the over-under out of curiosity?
Hold on, let's see.
I'd say 60. 65.
Nah, that's a little high.
That's just a little high. Don't forget to bring a towel!
It's not that far away. Over-under is 56.5.
Yeah, I would take the over.
I mean, Indy's defense stinks. I mean, not Indy, Kansas City's defense stinks. I'll go ahead and give me the points.
Wow.
I think it's a 3-point game, so give me the Colts and the points.
I'm kind of with you, and from the standpoint of, I don't see a blowout happening. There hasn't been a blowout yet, and usually when there hasn't been one, especially in the playoffs, there's one the following week. But I think that we're going to be the one supplying blowout where we blow out the Eagles. So
you're taking the Colts?
Yeah. I thought I opened with that. I thought that was the first thing.
I didn't know where we were going either. I didn't follow him. I'm gonna take the Colts. I think I said it earlier. KC has not performed well against good teams this year, so I'm going to be going against them.
Now, I do think KC wins. I just don't think they win by 6 points.
Okay.
Jason, I'm sorry. I stepped away. Who did you take?
I took the Colts.
And what's the point spread?
5.5.
Oh, yeah. Do
you guys realize it's an Indy three-way in the KC three-way? The Kansas City three-way.
The streams are all crossed now.
Yeah. It's like the thing that started the three-ways, but now we're just not picking KC.
All right, our next game, Saturday night game. I'm sure this will be Buck and Aikman. The Dallas Cowboys, after their win, traveled to Los Angeles to play Rams team, who people are kind of down on a little bit. Started off hot, everybody loved them, and the defense hasn't been as good as advertised. Goff kind of came back to earth a little bit. Dallas' defense playing really well. The big question here is...
And Gurley didn't play the last month, I believe.
I know he missed the last, I think, 3 weeks.
Right. I thought it was 4, but anyway, yeah. I mean, at least he wasn't effective. So
the Rams are favored by 7.
Ooh.
Right, which is a lot. But, let's say the Rams do jump out to a big lead. Is Dallas built to come back?
No. No, they're not.
They're really not.
Dallas isn't good on... Boy, that's a good spread.
7 points?
7.
The Rams.
That's a good.
Rams by good. 7.
Whew.
I'm going to take the points on this one.
So you're going to take the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think they keep games close.
Yeah, I like that, Jeff. I like the pick, but I need to kind of catch up a little bit, so I'm going to take the Rams.
Oh man.
And I don't think it's out of the question that the Rams blow the Cowboys up. I mean, it's on the road.
Agreed.
Cowboys are not, you know. Mm-hmm. But I do I can see either way. Done. I need to make
that's it. Why the spread is what it is.
Yep, that's why it's 7. All right. Hey Jason.
I'm gonna pick the Rams as well.
Oh, y'all ganging up on me.
Well, I mean, it's a question of do I try to catch up to you or do I try to catch up to Damon?
Because I was wondering, right.
Kind of impossible to catch up to Jeff. I just think, man, at the rant, I mean, I don't know. I think Dallas is going to shut down Gurley.
Sure.
Oh, man.
Well, then if you're trying to catch Damon because you know that I'm out of reach,
I'm assuming he's going to pick the Patriots so I can catch up to him there.
Okay. Well, then let's go into that game and see.
All right. Sunday early game. Los Angeles Chargers at the New England Patriots. Patriots favored by 4.5.
Hey, you realize, I mean, stating the obvious here, but these teams moved to Los Angeles and all of a sudden Los Angeles now has two playoff teams.
And no one cares.
All right, I'll go first with this one. I will take the points. I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Oh!
Wow.
Just the Patriots, even when they were winning. I mean, come on, the three, you know, they win by 3 points. 4.5, yeah. I mean, I will take the points.
Damn it.
And I like the
Chargers. Oh, he really fucked you there, didn't he?
That's okay. I'll take the Pats at home.
All
right. Oh, not a bad.
I was going to take the Pats, too. isn't their defense good?
No, not really.
Yeah, no. They get the Patriots. They just find a way to win. I mean.
Okay.
Again, like I said, if not for the miracle in Miami, that fluke fucking play, they're the number
they're 12
one seed.
And 4, yeah.
Right, they're not leaving Gillette Stadium. I mean, it's insane. And they're having a down year.
Right.
And they're down year the Super Bowl.
And that's why I'm taking them. All right.
You're taking the Pats, too?
Yep.
All right, and then our next game have to include the Saints. I mean, I guess I'll give the spread, and I'm sure we're all taking the Saints. Okay. Saints are favored by 8.5.
I will take the Saints and lay the points.
I will lay the points as well.
What is the spread again?
8.5.
I will take full stock in the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, even laying the points, I take the
Saints. I can't. Yeah. Nah, you can't pay. You can't.
No, I mean, if it was 14, fuck, I think I'd still take the Saints. Last time we beat them by 41 points.
I was going to say, it's the last time we beat them element that's
right. I'm sorry, 41 points.
All right.
It's hard to beat them twice in a year. I understand all that, but.
We did Panthers. We beat them 3 times last year. So.
Uh-huh. Not impossible.
All right, that's all of our pick-ems for this week. Don't forget to tweet them in before Saturday's games start, and that leads us into Saints preview.
What up, New Orleans? This fall, a diehard Saints fans, you heard me? They want to need a room for their team, but I don't do that. Baby, I'm a Saints fan, that's why I say who that. And if you a true who that, I need you to make some noise, you heard me?
Who that said they gon' beat them Saints?
I said if you a true who that, I need you to make some noise, you heard me?
Let's go. Bring them to the dome. We gon' chew them up and spit them out.
Well, the very game we've talked a little bit about here and there, and we just picked it in pick'ems for the first time. The Eagles. Let me change how I said that, because this is not the first time.
He sounded like an NFL official trying to explain a bad rule.
Oh, yeah. Or, yeah, that guy today when he was like, review the extra point.
Right.
Which means, I mean, what? No. All right, yeah.
Do over.
Yeah. Bottom line is, the Eagles are coming to New Orleans, and does this
make the Eagles the Saints' most common playoff opponent? It's got to be them or Minnesota at this point, right?
More, yeah.
I mean, we've got at least three previous games against them.
Three before this one, yeah.
Right.
You get the one
early 90s.
You got the one then in the 2006, was it?
Right. The Deuce, I call it the Deuce game, where he pulled them all. In 13, we played him.
In Philly, yeah.
In Philly, our first road playoff victory. And now this one, right. This is the fourth.
Fourth time we're playing Philly in the playoffs.
Right. And Minnesota has three. We have our very first playoff appearance in 87. We have the Jim Haslett playoff appearance in 2000.
I call that one the Moss game.
Right. And then we had the Minnesota Miracle last year.
Oh, and there's
the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Right. So they're tied. They will be tied after next Sunday.
Well.
So.
And then how the fuck we made fucking 12 playoffs and 8 of them are against Philadelphia
in Minnesota.
I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah. How you like that?
But yeah, look. Obviously, okay. They're the sixth seed. They were struggling. Look, I kind of tip my hat to them and their fans. I mean, obviously, hell, they didn't make the playoff to the last week of the season. I think we matched up well against them. We've showed it before. Just a couple, you know, I don't know what, 6 weeks ago?
Do you think there will be a lot of Philly fans?
Yes.
In for the game.
There will.
No.
Yes, there will. There's all... They travel... well, especially in the playoffs. I remember that game.
They do.
Was it 2006? Was it? And it seemed like there was more Philly fans than there should have been in that stadium.
Yeah.
You would think Saints fans would be holding on to their tickets.
Well, no, especially come playoff time. A lot of people sell them because they can make a lot of money.
Right. And you can, you can pay for by one game. But, look, it's going to be, okay, look, we didn't play our best the last couple of games. We have the rest. I do not think, you know, it's a rest versus rust. I do not think Sean Payton will let this team come out being rusty with Drew Brees, you know, as the leader. I think we're going to have fresh legs. It might start slow. We might start slow in the first quarter. But I think by the second quarter, second half, I think we're going to blow the doors off these guys. In the dome, loud, intimidating, you know, it plays on you, man. We're not going to lose to the Eagles in the dome. And we have a better team.
We do. I hope to God.
And better coaches. I mean, yeah, Armstead is – it's funny because it's kind of like you're saying Armstead is the key to everything. And – in a lot of ways, he kind of is, right? I mean, but we did – Armstead did go out early against Pittsburgh, and we still won that game.
Right. Look, Armstead is the key to where we're just dick-slinging it, okay?
We're just dick-slinging it.
Slapping you in the face with it, you know, waving it at you. Okay, that's what Armstead is. If, you know, I don't know what Bushrod – I don't know his status because Sean Payton – doesn't tell you, but you know we're still a very good team without him. So it depends: are we dick slapping people,
right,
or are we just you know doing what we need to do to stay on top and win? That's where Armstead and I think, man, this team's gonna be so fired up. It's the playoff. Look, y'all been to playoff games. It is a different atmosphere. You know, in that stadium. We all were at the last game against Carolina, and it was literally like a preseason game. Like, eh, who cares? Okay, you score. Yay. You know, we talked about it last week. It was no one cared. No one cared. They didn't care. We didn't care. Only people who cared with Carolina. You know, they really wanted that game. And it showed. Trust me. Next Sunday, 4:40, it's a different story. This team's fired up. Sean Payton has them ready. And, This is it, man. Let's do it. Win or go home. So, I'm this is the most confident team we could have played. Or I'm the most confident player of this team.
Right.
You know, any of the other ones, the Cowboys, you go, well, you know, look, the Cowboys, you know, they did do that to us. They kept us to 10 in Dallas, and they did beat us and hit our 13 streak. But Philly, God bless them, they played a hell of a game, went in there, beat a Bears team that they still needed the Bears to fuck up and double doink it, you know.
So I'm looking back on this, and aside from the Philadelphia game in 2006, Sean Payton, Drew Brees at home in the playoffs score over 30 points on offense. And then in that 06 playoff game was 27. I'm trying to see, like, get an idea of, like, what can you expect from, like, how explosive will the offense be? And I think we average over 30 points at home in the playoffs. I mean, shit, you're looking at 27 points in 06, but then after that...
The different teams. I mean, I get what you're going...
But still, 31 points, 45 points, 45 yeah. points, 31 points. They turn it on. They know how to turn it on when the stakes right. are high.
Right. To your point, Jeff, Sean Payton and Drew Brees are 5-0 in the Superdome in the playoffs.
Yeah, go there. Yeah, that too.
Okay. Yeah, they'll be 7-0.
I wonder what, you know, Peyton usually has his little motivational tricks or themes or whatnot. I wonder what he's going to use for this game. He's got to use something.
I wonder who's going to come out of the tunnel or who's going to do the, and is that part of it you're talking about? Like, who's going to do the who that chant?
Right. Like Reggie Bush with the bat.
Right, Reggie yeah. Bush with the bat. And I remember Bush that.
Wearing a Will Smith jersey with the 09 team. Cool. Saints tweeted that one out the other day.
I don't stop me if I mentioned this before in the podcast, because I know I mentioned it to Doug during the game last week. You know what I'd like to see? And again, I'd like to see the special teams be announced. You know, when they run onto the field. Mm-hmm. You know how they did before the game. Special, mm-hmm. You know, the offense and Andrew. I mean. You know, we got the leg, we got Lutz, we got Hill, Robinson. You know, I mean, I think, I don't know, I'd like to see it. Maybe not this game, but just...
Next year, game one, yeah.
Maybe fine. Sometimes, okay, maybe not this game, they don't pump you up like you want to see Drew Brees and you fucking, you know, Drew, you fucking animal, you know. Yay, Drew! You know, love that son of a bitch on the field.
Who do you parade out there to get this crowd going? That's got to be like...
Tom Benson. Tom Benson. You fucking go in that mausoleum. They didn't bury me. Then the mausoleum. You just got to open the door, fucking pull them out.
Dance about
fucking
like a man.
Put them on the truck and pull out and fucking take that fucking thing. And you know, do it classy now. Don't be an asshole about it. You know, put them in a horse-drawn thing like they did, you know, when you had the...
I don't think that's going to pump people up.
Sure will.
Here's a
Tom! You know, let him do the who that chant. You know?
And what would be cool is if the 6-10 Stompers all came out dressed as a bunch, like it's the 100 Tom Bensons, all of them doing the Benson boogie. You know?
Yeah.
Tom Benson impersonators. Yeah. I mean, do you think about this the other thing? This is what's interesting. So when Tom Benson died in the spring, we all talked about how would they use that as motivation for a season that would then eventually win the Super Bowl. You win for Tom, right? Win for Tom.
Right. And I haven't heard much of that, really.
I haven't. We haven't mentioned it all season. Right. I haven't heard anybody mention it all season. But I wonder if it's there. But I also wonder if that is something that you parade
no.
out. Do you Benson boogie, or do you wait till the Super Bowl and then you Benson boogie?
Yeah. I mean, well, Gail, you know, God bless her. She seems like a very she's not very outgoing like Mr. Benson was, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't see her boogieing.
No. I'm talking about everybody else boogieing. The whole
like,
homage to Tom Benson.
Absolutely.
Like the red dress run for Buddy B. It's like if the Saints win the Super
right.
Bowl this year, then there's going to be a where the city, you know, maybe
or
the Super Bowl parade is all Benson boogie parade.
Or do it like you did the red dress for Buddy D. Do it before the game.
Yeah,
we all get together and we have parasols and we all, you know, boogie
second
somewhere.
Second line, yeah.
Second line, right. Second line down, you know, through the quarter or CBD or warehouse district, wherever. That would be cool, right, as an homage to Mr. Benson.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, let me throw this a little programming note. On Thursday at 6:30 on WWL, I'm sure y'all saw it today watching the games like I did. They're doing a special about Miss Gail Benson. Oh. Not sure what it's going to be, but it's going to be, you know, on WWL Thursday at 6:30, so set your DVRs.
I hope they make it available on the internet for those of us who live outside the...
On the interwebs?
Yeah. Area.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're
going
to do, but anyway, that's a little programming note. It should be cool.
Yeah. So, we go back to the original question. Who do you bring out, either the tunnel or onto the 35-yard line for the Who Dat Chant? I mean, who's going to have the kind of impact that, like, Reggie Bush had while wearing a Will Smith jersey? That seems pretty hard to top, especially since he had the 09 team. I mean, do you just bring out the 09 team again? I mean, can you just keep using that?
You know, yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't know.
Vegeta, Chandler, you know, Roman Harper. You think Malcolm Jenkins would come over and...
Who?
Malcolm
Jenkins?
Yeah.
He ain't doing nothing. Right. He ain't doing nothing. Malcolm! Let Malcolm Jenkins do it. That would be awesome. Malcolm Jenkins come over and uniform, lead the right? Who Dat Chant.
I forgot Aaron Brooks.
Oh, God.
No, you don't want to depress everyone. But, you know...
is it Deuce?
Vilma, I don't know if Vilma's done it. You know, man, Vilma's the second greatest middle linebacker we've ever had.
Vilma would be a good one. Huh. Ricky Jackson? I mean, do you go that far back? What if you got Ricky, Willie, and Morton?
That would be cool.
To get the
Hall of Famers?
Yeah, the NFL Hall of Famers. Or maybe you would save them for the NFC Championship game.
Yeah. Save them for that.
You always get Marcus Colston. I feel like he's vanished.
Yeah.
He'd be one to bring out the woodwork.
Look, for those who don't go to the games, and Jason will know this because he goes, they do something now called, what are they called, Saints Legends or just Legends, you know, sponsored by Dixie Beer. And so every game they have a past Saints player on the sideline, and then during one of the timeouts, Mike Hoth interviews him up on the Jumbotron. It's pretty cool. And the last game was, Joe Horn. He was there when Michael Thomas broke his record. And they've all been there. Colston was, you know, he's been there. Then it's some of even the old timers from the, you know, 70s and stuff. So it's pretty cool. But Colston, my point, Jeff, just, Colston has been back to do stuff like that.
Okay.
But again, you know, they don't, those guys don't necessarily come out and lead the Who Dat Chant.
Bring
but
out
you're right.
Jim Mora to do it.
I'd love Jim Mora to do it. I think he's up there. I don't know. He's missed he's supposed to do stuff with WWE.
He does it with Channel 6.
Right. WDSU.
Yeah.
But he hasn't done it the last, you know, couple of games.
I tell you why I wouldn't do it. He was 0-4 in the playoffs. I don't want that juju.
Good point.
Yeah, we can do better. All right, so no real concerns about this game then? You guys are pretty confident? I mean...
Pretty confident I can be.
I mean, it's still the playoffs.
Right.
It's
so
still going to be nerve-wracking, yeah.
It's so, right, I won't be comfortable until we're up 28-0. I mean, those are the games I like. When I come out there and I can tell that, man, the offense is clicking and then we get dunks and, man, we have the games, you know, in our – I love those games. Then after that I'll get drunk and start drinking. I don't know if you have told the story on this on the podcast many times. For the Arizona game in 2009, you all remember how it started?
Hightower.
Hightower, right. Second play of the game. I'm like, oh, no, blah, blah, blah. And then obviously by second half, I mean, we had
it was over. Yeah.
Destroyed them. And, I mean, Doug and I got polluted drunk. And it wasn't until the next day I texted him. I said, did you know Warner went out? I don't remember that. I didn't remember shit. I mean, we would get the party in the stand, you know, because we took control of that game pretty handedly. and look, going back to the five games that Peyton and Breeze have had in the Dome, besides the Minnesota NFC Championship game, Detroit, we blew out. I mean, if you remember, someone in Detroit called a bomb threat into the Superdome if we didn't stop beating the piss out of them. Arizona, we beat the piss out of.
First Philadelphia game with that Deuce and Arcic. It wasn't. Yeah. That was a closer game. That was a close game. That, you know, It took everything. And I am missing
the Panthers me. last year. The Panthers
the big lead, but then that, they kind of
right. They got back and made it closer than I was comfortable with. But
now, are y'all nervous at all the fact that we, you know, Philly's looking for revenge after we beat the shit out of them? And I know they were bitching when we threw that touchdown Kamara late in the game.
No,
I feel like they're. It's nothing on us. I don't know what they're thinking about it. So it's a matter of whether the media brings it back up to them or if their coach decides that
they remember it in the locker room. Don't worry about that. They remember it in the locker room.
They're not going to be able to do anything.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah. So what? You know what? I'm sure.
I don't think they're good enough. That's the problem. Is they're not.
I'm sure Peter McNeely was mad Mike Tyson beat the piss out of him, but ain't nothing you can do about it. I mean,
what's Peter McNeely? Their average scoring is 367. All right, so
wait, Jeff. Okay, stop.
Holy mackerel! This one's
gonna win. Holy shit!
Never. That's it.
What the fuck?
Are you done? All right. Their average points per game is 22.9. Say 23 points per game. That puts them 18th in the league. Our defense lets up 7 points a game in the last how many games? I mean, aside from the Pittsburgh and the Carolina game. So
in the Tampa Bay game, and
right.
I pick and keep.
We let under.
Whatever point you're trying to make, it's not going to work. Look, we know we're on paper, like we're a better team. We know that, but in the playoffs, right. It happens.
People try hard, but like we said, we have Peyton, Breeze. This isn't our first rodeo. These guys were here last year. These guys remember Minnesota. These guys remember taking an unexpected exit. So, yes, it's a playoff. I'm worried, but I'm 5% worried. If it was Dallas, I would be 35% worried.
All right, let me erase all that what I said because I want to throw this out there. Okay, so the Eagles allow 21 points a game. The Saints score 31 points a game. Okay. The Saints allow
Saints
allow 22 points a game. The Eagles score 20 points a game. So the law of averages, if it has anything to do with it, we win, which maybe this will take us into score predictions.
So Jeff, would you say we're a better
22.
Team?
I say we 22.
Oh, you just had to get some kind of stat in there.
I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you.
So what's your score predictions?
Score predictions, look, playoffs, we're hot. We haven't hit 40 in a while. I'm going to go 42-17.
Wow. That would be a fun time.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Like when I visit Jeff's mom.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry. Right there. It is, but I had to pick someone. No, oh, don't. God.
I will go with 34-17.
I still look, hey, I'll take all of them.
Right.
That 17 is the big number. If we keep them under 20, I feel that in the fourth quarter, we're all relaxed. We're enjoying ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
As long as we're up, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now a quick final thoughts there,
Jason. Whoa. What's your prediction?
Oh, I did mine. 30, what did I say?
30, oh, no, you went first. Okay,
31-22.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I thought that was part of your stat deal.
Statistical average. All right, quick final thoughts, Jason?
Quick final thoughts. MCU rewatch continues. Watched Iron Man 2 this morning. The Whiplash villain wasn't that great, but I really liked Sam Rockwell as Justin Hammer, and I don't think he gets enough credit for the job he did in the role, and I wish they would bring him back in a future movie somehow. And I'm sure he's in prison or whatever, but I kind of wish they would bring him back. And it is, you know, you see Gary Shandling now knowing that he was Hydra all along, so that's an interesting little wrinkle. But this was really, I know it was technically only the second movie to come out of the MCU if you don't count the Hulk. I don't know if you do count the Hulk, but, you know, this really started to dive into S.H.I.E.L.D. You had Nick Fury. This was the first appearance from Black Widow. So really starting to set the gears in motion for the Avengers. And of course the post credits, you know, kicker was seeing Thor's hammer. So I think it gets some crap for not being quite that good, but I think it's better than maybe people remember.
Alright.
It's a setup movie.
Now that you say that, it really is a setup, the beginning of the setup for the Avengers. Yep. Because with the first Iron Man, they didn't know if it was going to work or not. Now that they had an idea that it was going to work, they really started to get that ball rolling.
That's right. Iron Man puts it over the plate, and then Captain America hit it over the net.
Poor Thor.
All right, Damon, any final thoughts from you?
Well, look, I'm just going to try to pump these guys up before the game. Look, the Eagles beat the number one defense because the Bears have an incompetent offense and their kicker blew it. All right, everybody remember that. Drew Brees should light up their secondary, and our running game is going to be better than the Bears. Who Dat Nation, enjoy this week. Enjoy the game. Watch it with family, friends. Come to the Dome if you're close. Who Dat? It all starts next Sunday.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter or Instagram. Twitter's at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dad come.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, wild card donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
It's the business. It's business time.
You know when I'm down to my socks, it's time for business. That's why they call business socks.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
Make a love. Make a love for. Make a love for two. Make a love for 2 minutes.
When it's with me, girl, you only need 2 minutes, because I'm so intense. You whisper something sexy like, is that it? I know what you're trying to say, girl. You're trying to say, oh yeah, that's it. Then you tell me you want some more. Well, I'm not surprised, but I'm quite sleepy.
It's business time.